Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, August 3rd, 2000. In the fireside room this afternoon, we have Tom Holsinger Fuchs. Today's session number is HFT-2009. This afternoon, Tom is continuing his series Conflict Resolution, Communication and Management. Today's title is Creating a Personal Mission Statement for Work and Life.
It's from this book called The Path by Lori Beth Jones. A Christian-based idea. She wrote Jesus CEO, some of the other books. It is available in the bookstore. And while I'm going to be able to talk about some of the things today, it's not going to be nearly as complete as getting a hold of this book and going through it on your own. So I'd encourage you to do that. I became aware of this book at Trinity Lutheran Church, where I worship. I'm on a vision and mission task force, and which is always better than committee, because you know that once you finish your task, you can be done. So we have been working on developing a new mission or vision statement for our church. And after about 4 months of prayer and contemplation and really trying to look at a vision statement for our church, we finally came up with Trinity is a different kind of life-changing, faith-shaping place. And there was those elements that we have. As you heard about in the little kicker this morning when they announced this session, Mary Beth Jones believes that there really needs to be three elements to a good mission statement. One, that it is less than a sentence long, or a sentence long, no more than a sentence. Second is that it should be easily understood by a 9-year-old. And the third is that you should be able to recite it at gunpoint by memory. And those seem kind of crass, but in some ways it's really true. If a mission statement is going to be useful and is going to work for you, it's going to be important that it's short enough that you can always keep it in mind. And I have developed mine to a point now, and through using this book, that I have a 3-word mission statement. And 3 words for me are, it's pretty important that I remember that, and that's that in all of the work that I do, and I've actually kind of cheated the whole system we're going to go through a little bit today, but my mission statement is to educate, inspire, and challenge. Those are the words that I've, through this process, have kind of gleaned, and not necessarily, she encourages you to take and to say to whom you're going to do this for or what, but in all the work that I do and the life that I live, both personal and work life, these are the elements that I have as my mission statement. Now, obviously, there's other elements to my life that I have to be considerate of, and we'll talk about some of the false assumptions of mission statements in a little bit. So that has been my mission statement for about a year, and has absolutely helped me not be pulled away or towards things that don't fit into my mission statement. I use this as an example in another class, but I was offered a job as an administrator of a recovery treatment program of a large hospital in my home, in the town where I live, Crookston, Minnesota. Great job. The pay was phenomenal. I could have cut a 60-mile commute off of my daily routine. There were so many things that were real appealing to me. And as I looked into what was my mission statement and what was my vision, it did not have enough of these elements, educate, inspire, and challenge, to really make it the place I wanted to be. And so I had to choose not to do that, much to the chagrin of the people who offered me the job and my next-door neighbors, who couldn't believe I would turn down more money and a job in town for a job out of town, and da-da-da-da-da. So we'll get into that. A definition of mission is a specific task that a person or a group of persons is sent to perform. In other words, that whole idea that mission is about what am I about? Not what do other people think I'm about or what would be cool to be about. It's what am I as a person? What task am I about? A piece of work of such persons or territory of their responsibility. In other words, sometimes a mission is a place of work for such persons. The third one is an allotted or self-imposed duty of task or a calling. You know, they talk about mission as a calling. And that's a real kind of a neat idea to think about. You know, what are we called to do? And I think that oftentimes when I work with folks, they talk about what is my calling, and they sit and a long time they sort of say, well, you know, I could do this or I could do that. And ultimately, we all can do a lot of things. But a mission hopefully narrows us to a point to help us understand. The reason why I'm interested in mission statements has to do with my concept of homeostasis and the fact that if you are living within your homeostasis, if you have a mission statement, that makes you a much broader person in terms of you don't always have to pick up whatever's coming along. You can say, hey, this is what I'm about. Now, that might change. I don't know if I've always had these three words as my mission statement, but for right now, in this time, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm called to do. There's a lot of people out there who aren't or don't have mission statements, and a lot of people who are working in jobs because they are good paying or because they are where they're living, or there seems to be a lot of folks who sort of are really yearning for something deeper than what they're doing. There was a recent study that said 50% of all women executives are currently thinking about doing a job search or are involved in some sort of movement or a change to something else. Recently, a man working for American Express, the president or the CEO of American Express, quit his job to search for his life. He was making $4 million a year. So it's kind of a, not kind of a, it is a, almost an epidemic of people trying to figure out what are they about. And we've done such a great job of separating our personal life from our work life that we have no integration. And we believe that we can just do anything if the money's good enough, or if the location is right, or if I can't find anything else. And I think that what this does is it should help us. It helps all people who develop a mission statement to say, this is what I'm about. Now, obviously, I will not be able to help you develop your entire mission statement. We can get somewhat close today, and we will try and do that. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to talk a little bit about some false assumptions. Once again, this stuff is all taken from the book, and I encourage you to buy it. But one of them is that, I just want to jump back a little bit, that idea that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You know, that's one of the ideas that I'm really trying to work on. And another thing is that clarity is power. You know, if you know what you're about, it doesn't make any difference whether or not you're making $100,000 or $50,000. It's about being satisfied and you living out your values. One of the reasons I stayed at the Conflict Resolution Center has to do with that the values at the center are so matched to my values and part of the calling that I can do. And really, I can do all of these things in my job. So that's been a real nice connection for me. Is there anybody in here who has a mission statement that can... Okay, well, you're in the right place, right? Oh, you do? No? What's your mission statement?
Essentially, at this point, is do what I can see myself doing.
Do what you can see yourself doing. Probably not.
That's where I start.
That's where you start, right. Yes, what can I do here? Unfortunately, what happens when you have three options?
Well, then, yes.
Yeah, then you get kind of like, And I've been there. You know, I've been at that point where, in fact, one of the best opportunities to illustrate that point is that when we left Holden Village in 1991, we had two job offers in Portland, one for myself and one for my wife. And we had, I was supposed to be, photo op. We had two job offers, really. JCPenney's. We had two job offers in Portland. I was offered a job at the University of Portland in the student activities office. My wife was offered the dean of students at Concordia College in Portland. Perfect setup, right? We were thinking about moving to the West Coast, two jobs. And then we were offered a job at the Lutheran Bible Institute. My wife was, and I was offered nothing. And everything in our heart of hearts said, go to Portland, you know? And we kept weighing this, and we were traveling from Holden Village back to Minnesota to get our stuff so we could move either to Seattle or Portland. And all the way back, 30 hours of driving, we're debating this, and we've got T-charts, and we've got all these things about what's right and what's wrong. And every time we kept coming back, it was like, Portland's the place to go. So finally we said, okay, Portland's the place to go. We'd prayed, we'd cried, we'd done everything. We accepted the jobs in Portland. My wife, we were at my parents' house. My wife went down, took a shower. She came back from her shower. She's crying, I'm crying. And we're like, it was the worst decision of our lives. It was like God saying, you're not gonna do that. You know, you're not gonna do that. And I don't know, I think that had I had a little better mission statement about knowing where I was going, I think it would have been easier and it could have been better for us to say, no, this is the place we're going. We called them back an hour later, turned down the jobs, and then accepted a job in Seattle, Washington, the Lutheran Bible Institute, in a place that, in a Bible college that was, they're never very sturdy or steady. You know, economically, they're always troubled. In a place that, prestige-wise, wasn't nearly as good as the jobs we were offered. I wasn't even offered a job. So there were all sorts of things, but at that moment, we kind of went with what we went with. There always seems to be some questions about, and some assumptions about what mission statements should be about. And the first one is my job is my mission. And that's it's a common response that we give whenever we work with mission. And one of the things I think is the saddest thing is to watch a mostly men who identify so strongly with their job that they retire and die within a couple months. Because they've so much identified with who they are, with their work, that they're unable to let that go. And so they have no purpose of living beyond their retirement. And really kind of a shame. But haven't we all had those sorts of examples in our lives? Your job or your mission is larger than your job. And if you make your job your mission, if you get downsized, if you lose your job, then you are lost. You are caught out there. And you have no idea what you're supposed to do. And so your identifiers of yourself slip, and you can't, and it's much easier for you to come back. We have an average of 4 different careers in our lifetimes. That's what the census currently says. So it doesn't work to have your mission statement based on your job. The second one is my role is my mission. Sometimes mothers, women, tend to kind of fall in that place. And the empty nest syndrome is the same kind of response to that, because they've so self-identified with that my mission is to raise children, and once the children are gone, what do? That they're unable to sort of grasp at anything. And it causes some chaos for people when the children leave the house or those sorts of things. an example that this book uses was a woman who, excuse me, had taken care of elderly parents, and when the elderly parents died, she really went into a really deep depression because she really felt like she had no purpose. And so she found herself eventually volunteering at an AIDS clinic. And she really found out that service was really what she was about. It wasn't about her parents, it was about service. And in spite of all of the chaos and the death that are associated with the AIDS clinic, she really found her calling in life. So I think that's a nice idea about what is your mission. The third one is my to-do list is my mission statement. Okay. Now, if my to-do list is a mission statement, then my porch is my mission statement. You know, and my rebuilding the front porch is not my mission. It's something I do. It's something I will love to do. It's part of who I am and part of the elements of my life, but it certainly is not my mission. And it certainly is not our mission to write more to-do lists, you know, because without some kind of grounding, then we just jump from job to job or project to project in our lives, and we never sort of get a grasp on who we are. The fourth one is I'm not currently living my mission. And this book makes the case that in some element, all of us are living our missions and our mission statement in our lives. And we have to find out what are those things that are really energizing for us. What are the things that really sort of keep us focused and ignite us and ignite the fire in us. And we're going to go through at least two different activities today to talk about that. But Thomas Merton, who is a very famous monastic, I guess he's a monk, Catholic Church, wrote hundreds of inspirational books, but always questioned whether or not he was at the right monastery. I mean, he kind of was always sort of dealing with that issue about, is this the right place? Am I living my mission? Our goals increase with awareness. You know, you look at Moses. You know, do you remember Moses? God said to Moses, hey, lead my people out. And he's like, I don't talk very well. And God said, I don't care, you know. And finally, it was kind of like he just had to be encouraged more and more. And he even then, he had his brother help him with the voice part of it. Moses was the leader. And who was the voice? Remember the... What was it?
Aaron.
Excuse me, I kind of lost it there for a second. But you have to think about that. You know, in some ways, he didn't think that he was living his mission, and yet he was called to do that. Another assumption about mission statements is I'm not important enough to have a mission statement. And It's a Wonderful Life. That's the one that I always sort of like. I always think about that, you know. Remember that It's a Wonderful Life when James Cagney was, he was so... Is it James Cagney?
Stewart.
Oh, excuse me. James Stewart.
James Cagney.
And I knew I was wrong because everybody's going... You know, Jimmy Stewart, he was brought back and he was shown what his life what the life of all these people would have been had he not been a part of it. And that's really kind of neat if you think about it, that all of our lives are just little sort of pebbles that are dropped into the water, and that sort of outflowing that happens from our lives, and we are unable to understand how that effect has an effect on another person's life. I'll give you an example. I worked with at-risk adolescents in an ALC, Alternative Learning Center, in schools. And I was very straightforward with the kids. I loved working with at-risk kids. In fact, if I would have to identify a group that I would want to educate, inspire, and challenge, that might be the group. And We used to talk about drugs a lot because they knew that I'd been a druggie in the 70s. And they said to me, well, what would you do if you ever caught anybody with marijuana in school? And I said, I'd bust you. I said, I'd call the police immediately and you'd be busted. And, we joked about it a lot because all of these kids were fairly involved with the drug culture and they had someone to talk to. And the last day of school, we had this huge party, but in the afternoon and in the morning, a kid dropped his one hitter, which is something for doing single hits of marijuana, and a carved box out of his backpack on the floor. And a teacher notified me, and I went and said, I need to see your backpack. Or what is that? And he said, oh, it's nothing. And we kind of went through the whole thing, and I caught it, and we busted him, and I called the police. And the kids around me said to me, serves him right. You told him exactly what you were going to do. You did it. He was mad at me. He only lives two houses away from me on my block. He was just livid with me. But yet understood it, and through this whole process, had to go to court, got into some programs, and we used to joke around. He started coming back around again, and we'd talk a little bit more about use. And one day, about a year ago, in fact, I know the day because it's the day after my anniversary, he shows up August 24th and says, you owe me $20. And I'm like, what? He said, you owe me $20 because you promised me if I stopped smoking dope for a year, you'd give me $20. And I went, damn right. And I gave him $20. Now, that little ripple was busting him, which for him was a really negative experience. So that idea that I'm not important enough to have a mission has nothing to do with that because I inspired him, okay? And I challenged him. Does that make sense? So it's completely separate from what you normally would think of, educate, inspire, and challenge. But I did that for that guy, and I know he's coming around this year again because he's talked to me. He said, Peter the 24th. I think this is the cheapest drug treatment we've ever done in our society. And I will give him $20 a year for the rest of my life. I don't really care about it. I'd like to bill back the state of Minnesota for it, but I won't. Every word we speak, every action we take has some kind of reaction. And we need to recognize that, and we need to take it to heart. The sixth one is my mission statement must be a grand one and it must help a lot of people. Isn't that always how it thinks? It's like, it's got to be big. Yeah, it doesn't have to be big. There was a little kind of a story in there that said, for the want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the battle was lost. And that idea that it's all little things, but little things make big deals in the end. So, they recently did a State of the World Forum, and they found out that, or they decided what were the three most important jobs in the world. Here's what they came up with: parenting, teaching, and healing. Three most important jobs in the world. Three some of the most underpaid jobs in the world too, but some of the most important. The seventh one is my mission must be full of suffering. In other words, God's will is for me to do something I don't like. If that was true, it would say accountant right here. No, God doesn't call us to do things we don't like. God gave us skills and abilities and gifts, and we need to figure out what they are. My mission is the same as my peers. That's another one. Number eight. My mission is the same as my peers. I don't think so. I mean, if you want to soar with the turkeys, you can. Hang out with the, or the eagles, you can. Party with the turkeys. It's all about trying to figure out what's in it for you and what's right for you. And at some point, you may not be in the place you need to be. Geography is my destiny. This is an interesting one. I, for 10 or 11 years, have wanted to be an independent consultant. And all the time I worked in in Washington, I was doing some consulting, and I thought as I moved back to Minnesota that that was done. You know, that kind of, because I was in northern Minnesota, I would never get another job. And I moved to northern Minnesota, and I became the most sought-after consultant, probably in a 200-mile, 400-mile radius. And my consulting career has just exploded since I moved to Minnesota. So geography is not your destiny. Look at Georgia O'Keeffe. She moved, she was an artist and she lived in New York. She couldn't sell her paintings. They were real somber and dark and everything else. She moves to the West and becomes this renowned artist. So we don't need to be bound by that. Number 10, what I'm doing is as close as I can get to a real mission. In other words, I'm doing it because it pays the bill, and someday I'll do that. I have a friend, Michael, who I met at Lutheran Bible Institute and went through and got a 4-year degree in recovering speed, crack addict, a really an important guy. And the problem was with Michael is that he could make way too much money being a tire bouncer, being a tire man, you know, repairing tires, repairing flats. And so when he got this great education and biblical education and Christian education, and then went out there and saw the jobs and said, oh, I can't do that, I have to make a lot more money. And so he goes over and does this. And that's been a real struggle for him. You know, sometimes we take jobs that are sort of parallel to what we want to do. The last one is life is random. You know, even I was an accident. And you have to think about that. You know, it's not random. You know, if it's random, then anything we do is good, and we don't really have to care about our lives. Life is not random. We get to make choices in it. We're going to do an exercise, and I'm going to pass this out, and I don't even want you to look at it, because I want you to just use the back of it as a, because the other exercise is on the front, so I don't even want you to look at this. Just turn to the white sheet. It's a 3-page piece, and I also have pens here, and we're going to do just two exercises that they utilize in there. This is just two exercises that I found very, very interesting about how do we create a mission statement. Any questions about those assumptions? Do they resonate with you?
Thank you.
Does it seem to work? Yeah.
What was your point about Thomas Merton?
Well, the Thomas Merton.
He searched a lot.
Well, yeah, and he kept thinking that he wasn't living his mission. I mean, that wasn't it, that he wasn't living his mission? Yeah, I'm not currently living my mission. He kept believing that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And in reality, he's been an inspiration to hundreds of thousands of people. You know, there's that continual questioning, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Makes sense. Did you guys get him up there?
Could you pitch a pencil up here?
Oh, okay. Pencils up there if anybody... Any pencils left? We do need the pencils back. I've released them 2 days in a row from the office.
Hey, Noel, can you reach down and grab those?
Now, it's obvious that in an hour, we're not going to be able to get to the point where you have a complete mission statement, but maybe you will. These are just two exercises of, I would think there's probably 10 to 30 different exercises in this book that talk to the sense of mission and mission statement. She really encourages and uses a lot of biblical text to help explain, you know, what your mission is. You know, that one on suffering, you know, that my mission has to be full of suffering. You know, you just think of what Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, you know, that you can take it on. So I don't think we have to have that much suffering. She really encourages you to do a lot of mediation, prayer, contemplation about really what are you about. And I don't think it's you're ever too late to start writing a mission statement. I think that, in fact, I'm continually questioning whether or not I could have written this mission statement at 30, and if that would have helped me. And I hope that it would have, but I really can't answer that question. It certainly has affected my life today.
Excuse me. Yes. For those of us who were irresponsible enough to come late, do you mind saying the name of the book that you...
Okay, I'm sorry. The book is called The Path by Laurie Beth Jones, Creating a Mission Statement for Work and Your Life and for Life. It's in the bookstore. I'd encourage you to buy it. I think it's a really valuable resource.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is just one exercise, and I found this to be especially helpful for me. I'd like you to think of the four elements: earth, wind, water, and fire. Write those down. Earth, wind, water, and fire. And I'd like you to circle the one which you are most like. Just one that pops into your head. Which one are you most like? Circle it. Everybody with me? Now, I'd like you to list 12 characteristics of that. An example, wind is invisible, powerful, untamed, moody, exciting. Just name, just whatever comes to your mind. And it doesn't have to make sense. And we won't require you to say it out loud by gunpoint. Now I'd like you to list at least 12 action verbs. Okay, action, adverbs or verbs. An example would be...
I just did. What were the first ones?
Related to
characteristics of the water. Or of whatever it is, earth, wind.
I think I did too.
Did you blow yours?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Then if you've done action verbs, now do characteristics.
These are action verbs of that item?
Of that item. Earth, wind, fire, water. If you don't have 12, that's all right. We're going to stop right now because I'm going to go on to the next one or just finish this one. Now, where you have the element, earth, water, fire, wind, write I, water, wind, I, state your name, whatever your name is, and think about these elements as a descriptor of you. Because in many ways they are a descriptor of you. This was a really telling thing for me when I did it, and I just tried to recreate it, or I just sort of went back and did it again. And I've always self-identified with water for me. And at first I had a hard time figuring out which element I wanted, and then I think about that I'm always drawn towards water. And the words I came up with is that exciting, refreshing, cool, soothing, adventurous, unpredictable, giving, rough, elementary, kind, beautiful, river. So those are really kind of descriptors of sort of the person that I am. And my adverbs are freeing, mysterious, rushing, moving, calm, crazy, serene, you know, and I think about it. And what this book encourages you to do is to use it as a meditation form. So for the next 30 days, spend 5 minutes looking over what you are. Because when you describe the element you are most like, when you describe those words, they are you. Okay. So just, it was a good way for me to get out of, because we did this in church, I always heard people want to hear the things that they thought the church wanted them to be. Does that make sense? Not what they wanted to be, what they were expecting that the church wanted them to be. And I think you cannot, that's like making my church my mission or my work my mission. It doesn't help. It has to come from you. So this is a great start for you, because now you have these 30 words that you can, or excuse me, 24 words that you can say, okay, this is who I am, and fix on that, and work towards developing who you are from those words. I think it's a great start. Questions about that? There's a great flyer on me right now. I want you to turn this over. This is another exercise in the book. And I want you to, the first thing I want you to do is tear off the first page and lay it down, because you don't really want it right now. On the next two pages are seven lists. Seven lists of words. I want you to go through first and circle three verbs from each list. What appeals to you? What appeals to you? Doesn't have to make sense right now. Just circle them. Circle three from every list. Do it right now.
Two right now.
When you're done, you can list them on the back, that's the easiest way of doing it, and then pick the three. You can only allow to pick three. What's that?
There's a sheet that has the list.
There's a sheet that you can write out the list out, and then you should pick three. Why three? I don't know. Triune God, is that I'm not sure why three, but three seems to be manageable. Four seems to be a little bit, but if you'd like four, that's fine. I'm going to have you stop, because I'm going to do a little bit of introduction of another one that I'd like you to think about. Now, the way that I came up with my mission statement was through this process. I found this to be a very good process for me. It may or may not be the way you think, but I think it does give us a good start with identifying some words. Can anybody give me a couple of words they came up with they've really self-identified with? Anybody? Did you? Go ahead.
Encourage, appreciate, worship.
Okay. Encourage, appreciate, and worship. Good. Anybody else?
Believe.
What's that?
Believe.
Relieve?
Mm-hmm.
Believe. Mm-hmm. Believe. Yeah. No.
Educate, live, and know.
Educate what?
Live.
And know. Okay. You see, and you can play around with this. And you can develop your words that says this is what it's about. The first page I told you to pull off, I want you to look at that. You can look at it now. I didn't find this part to be as effective for me, because I'm not sure. It says to identify a group that you would want to inspire or learn from or serve or be around. And I had a hard time with that element, because I'm not sure. I think because my idea is that if mine is educate, inspire, and challenge, that hopefully that's what I do at Holden Village. I do the same thing when I work with at-risk kids. I do the same thing when I work with organizations or schools. And so I had a hard time grappling with who was I going to serve. But that might be a helpful thing for you. I don't want to take it away from you. So if you think you can identify, who would you want to be a part of? If I was held at gunpoint, somebody said, pick one, I probably would pick humanity. But it's not on there. I probably would pick children, probably at-risk kids. I believe that in some ways I've been called to do that. and I'm not sure why, because I really love what I do in my job now. So, here's another exercise. Just find another blank piece of paper, and this says, this is from the Bible, but it's a living, I think it's the Living Word, the Living Bible interpretation of this. An owner of an estate went out early one morning to hire workers to harvest for his harvest field. He agreed to pay them $20 a day and set them out to work. A couple hours later, he was passing through the hiring hall, saw some men standing around waiting for jobs, so he sent them out on the field, telling him he would pay them at the end of the day. At noon again, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he did the same thing. When all men had gathered to be paid, each received $20 for those who had been, When all the men gathered to be paid, each received $20, even those who had been hired later part of the day. The workers hired in the early protested. Those fellows worked only 1 hour and yet have been paid just as much as those who have worked all day in the scorching heat. Friend, he answered to one of them, I did no wrong. Did you not agree to work for $20? The parable speaks to God's generosity, but it also implies that we will get what we settle for. We must value ourselves, our talents, at their proper worth. Here's the exercise. People say, oh, you're so good at blank. So when people say, oh, you're so good at, what do they write? Or what do they say? And write that down right now. What do people say you're good at? Just one or two things. Second one, write down a list of no less than 20 talents. Imagine that you're being given $1,000 for every talent you write down. What are your talents? Write them out right now. Write them down. And stop. Count up your talents. Who has more than 10? More than 15? More than 17? More than, how many do you have?
22.
Who has more than 22? All right, after Vespers, you get a free ice cream cone. 22 talents, excellent. Good job, what is your name?
Lloyd.
Lloyd, okay, Lloyd. Good, 22 talents. Now I want you to, however many talents you do have, I want you to put in a circle with an X through of the talents you've buried in your life. The ones you've buried. You know, not really developed as well, kind of hit off to the side. You know, and I want you to put a time sign, an X, by the ones you really feel you've multiplied. In other words, what have you given the most power to and the most energy to, and what are the ones that you've buried?
You haven't been struggling with this stuff?
Do it. Oh, you just walked in.
Do it.
I guess you do it. Do it now. And then we'll stop at this point. But the point of this, and we're at an hour, so we'll stop. The point of all of these things are that if we can make our mind move to the areas that we want to, and with talents. I remember when I did this piece, I kept thinking, oh, I'm not good at that. Oh, I'm not good at that. Or, you know, I mean, why be boastful, you know? I only have these many talents. And the reality is that I really had to work to create my list of talents. Did anybody feel like it was a lot of work?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. There's something inside of us that sort of says, oh, I don't want to be boastful. Oh, you know. Oh, gee whiz, I'm not really that good, you know. And I think we have to overcome that if we are to look at our mission statement for what we are to do and who we are, then we need to be able to examine our talents. Because I believe that because of my
because of my struggles in school as a young child, that had someone told me that one of my mission statement words was going to be educate, I would have said,
you're on drugs.
I mean, I would have. It would have been no way that that would have been part of my mission statement. But because it kept coming up on these lists as words, as one of my talents, I had to examine that and decide that that really was something that I was about. So, questions?
Well, what if all your talents are kind of fluffy and soft?
Yeah.
Unemployable.
Unemployable. Can you give me an example of a soft, fluffy talent?
Kind.
Kind. Mm-hmm. And you don't think kindness matters?
Well, okay, how about fun?
But you're going to have to find something that allows you to both be kind and have fun. That's part of your mission statement. If those two words are important to you, and if you pick them as part of your mission statement, I mean, they may be elements to what you're going to do, and you're going to have to figure that out. It helps you focus more on, I mean, you probably aren't going to get into a job where you're not dealing with people, because kind and fun both are associated with other people, right? See what I'm saying?
Accountant.
Yeah, you're not going to be an accountant. You probably are. Right?
No.
Hey, what's wrong with accountants?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with accountants, except I suck as an accountant, so I use it all the time. Other questions? There was a hand.
Well, I just have a comment to make. I think that the first page can be very relevant. Because what I've noticed with friends of mine, that people seem to have passions. Like, I have a girlfriend who, her thing is that the rainforest is being destroyed.
Right.
Okay, I think that's just a really important thing. There's absolutely nothing I absorb in me. I would ever work in that, I'd ever do anything that or anything. And then, you know, you go off and do, you know, some child abuse thing or something that really bothers me, you know.
So right.
I think there's some stuff in here that really, I think some people really are called to specific mm-hmm. sort of areas of work.
Yeah, and I think what this book does is it says there's really no one right way, but if it's got the elements, single sentence, recitable by memory, understood by a 9-year-old, I mean, if those are the components she, and this woman goes out and does it for organizations and businesses and, you know, really makes it her life to do this. However you come up with it, and some people are going to really relate to that. I didn't, but it sounds like you are and you can, and that's great. I mean, whatever works for you. But I encourage you to do it. I encourage you, you sort of started it. Does anybody feel like they've kind of come to that a mission statement at all? That no, what did you say yours was? Educate? Kind?
Educate, live, and know.
Educate, live, and know. Can you say a little bit more about the know?
To know is I spend a lot. I'm very introspective, so it's very important to know where you're going, to know what you're about, to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So, and I spend time trying to make friends of mine or help them, not make them, help them better understand and know who they are and what they want to do. So
right. And you see, so that may be, and right now you're a school teacher, is that right? You know, that may be part of Noel's calling, but he also may be eventually working in an area where he's even more utilizing that talent of know, to know somebody. And that does, but if those are the components, and if that's what he gets in the groove on and gets to be as his mission statement, then if somebody offers him a job as, you know, working, you're in Minneapolis?
St. Paul.
Somebody offers him a job with the St. Paul companies as a life insurance guy.
I'm going to tell you that one right now.
Because it's not him. But there are people.
Pay me enough.
What's that?
Couldn't pay me enough.
Do you see how it makes sense for him? He's got three words now that says, this is what I'm about. And if this is what I'm about, then everything else that comes along doesn't fit that. I can just toss it off to the side. Other comments? Thank you for allowing us to
use it. I thought it was really interesting about the list of verbs that, you know, I had to do it in a big hurry because there was a list to go through. But yet when I finished, the words that God are wonderful. I speak their Greek.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
And if I sat and thought about them and, you know, debated, shall I circle this or not?
Right.
I probably would have done something different.
Right. And it's recognizing that, if you move really fast, they come. But, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of time. Because there aren't bad words on this. They're all good words. You know, it's like, okay, should I, let's see, forgive or foster? Which one do I want to choose? They're all good words. But whatever works, I mean, that sounds like it's great. And just keep going, keep moving it. Did anybody kind of like the elemental piece? Earth, wind, fire, water? Anybody, you kind of... Some people really, that's where they sort of find their mission, and that's how you come to those words. We're done. I hope you've done it. I hope you continue to do it. I encourage you to buy the book, and I hope you had a good time here today. See ya.
Thank you.